Hello, everyone. My name is Elijah Bitter, minister of the 12th Hour Apostolic Church of Congregation Mount Zion, the 12th Hour. And the orientation today is March the 30th, 2024, or it's the 21st day of Abib 2028. We will start our first service on this Saturday. With a sermon, or with a song, and then a prayer thought, and then we'll have a prayer and go into a sermon to be named. Prayer thought. First epistle of Paul the Apostle to the Corinthians, chapter 1. We're going to go with verse 1. Paul called to be an apostle of the Yahshua through the will of the Father Yahweh and Sosthenes, our brother. Okay. It says, unto the church of the Yahweh, which is at the Corinth, unto them that are sanctified in the blood of the Yahshua, son of Yahweh, and are called to be saints, with all that is in every place, call upon the name of Yahshua, our Redeemer, Savior, Emancipator, both theirs and ours. Grace be unto you and peace from Yahweh our Father and from the Savior Yahshua. I thank my Father Yahweh always on your behalf for the grace of Yahweh which is given you by the Yahshua, that in everything you are enriched by him in all utterance and in all knowledge, even as the testimony of the Yahshua was confirmed in you, so that you come behind in no gift, waiting for the coming of our Savior, Yahshua, who shall also confirm you unto the end, that you may be blameless in the day of our Savior, Yahshua. For the Yahweh is faithful, by whom ye were called unto the fellowship of his Son, Yahshua, our Savior. Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Savior Yahshua, that you all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. For it hath been declared unto me of you, my brethren, by them which are of the house of Shiloh, that there are contentions among you. Now this I say, that every one of you saith, I am of the Paul, and I of the Apollos, and I of the Cephas, and I of the Yahshua. Is the Yahshua divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Or were you baptized in the name of the Paul? I thank Yahweh that I baptized none of you, but Crispus and Gaius, lest any should say that I had baptized in my own name. And I baptized also the household of Stephanus. Besides, I know not whether I baptized any other. For Yahshua sent me not to baptize, but to preach the plan of the salvation through the blood of the everlasting covenant of his Son Yahshua, not with the wisdom of the words, lest the cross of Yahshua should be made of none effect. For the preaching of the cross is unto them that perish foolishness, but unto us that are saved, it is as the power of Father. Or it is as the same power of the Father, for it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not Yahweh made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that, in the wisdom of the Yahweh, the world by wisdom knew not Yahweh. It pleased Yahweh by the foolishness of the preaching for the saving them that believe. For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach the Yahshua crucified, unto the Jews as a stumbling block. Okay. And unto the Greeks foolishness, but unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Yahshua, the power of Yahweh and the wisdom of Yahweh. This don't make no sense the way this is written. But unto them that are called, both of the Jews and of the Greeks, by the Yahshua, is the power of Yahweh and the wisdom of the Yahweh. Because the foolishness of the Yahweh is wiser than men, and the weakness of Yahweh is stronger than men. For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But Yahweh has chosen the foolish things of the world for the confounding of the wise. And Yahweh has chosen the weak things of the world for the confounding of the things that are mighty. And for the best things of the world, and for the things that are despised, hath the Yahweh chosen, all the things that are not despised, for the bringing unto naught things that are despised. Had no flesh of glory in his presence, but of them are ye in the Yahshua, who the Yahweh has made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. That according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Yahshua, son of the Yahweh, by his blood of the everlasting covenant. End of our prayer thought, 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Okay, it says, one time the greetings, number 46, where on, we are to study the 49th chapter of Isaiah. This chapter points out the servants of Yahweh and the gathering time, their racial lineage, and their need for the territorial expansion. We shall begin the study with the first three verses. This is a text of address by the VTL of June the 21st, 1947. Isaiah 49, verse 1 to 3. Listen, O isles, unto me, and hearken, ye people, from far, for Yahshua hath called me from the womb, from the bowels of my mother, hath he made mention of my name. And he hath made my mouth like a sharp sword, in the shadow of his hand hath he hid me, and made me as a polished shaft in his quiver. Hath he hid me, and said unto me, Thou art my servant, O Israel, in whom I will be glorified. Now notice, he's naming Isaiah with the name of Israel. See, all your sanctified prophets have the name of Israel. Same thing that Jacob was given when he overcome and won the wrestling match with the angel that night. Jacob then was said, your name is no longer Jacob, it's Israel. So everybody that overcomes of the prophetic line, or they are sanctified, they're called Israel. Okay? For the Spirit of the Yahweh and the person of Israel, okay, for the Spirit of Yahweh and the person of the Israel through the prophet Isaiah declares that Israel was born for no other reason than to be Yahweh's servant, and urges that this fact must now be made known throughout the world, even unto the isles of the sea. Since Jacob himself was dead long before Isaiah the prophet wrote, the truth clearly stands out that the Spirit of Yahweh in this scripture speaks not personally unto Jacob himself, but unto his descendants, unto those unto whom this truth is made known and who now bear the responsibility for the broadcasting it far and wide. Plainly then, the people in whom the Yahshua is to be glorified, this is the Son, Yahshua, to be glorified, and who again bring Jacob unto him, okay, Isaiah 49, 3 and 5, are themselves too to be made known internationally, for they are those who finish the gospel work as the very last workers. Unto them the Yahshua gives a mouth as sharp as a sword. Alright, it says, these are to be his servants during the gathering of the people in the day that the Yahshua is glorified. Well, when is he glorified? When he stands on the Mount Zion with the 144,000, the first fruits harvest out of the Adventist church, called the saints, Revelation 14:1. When Yahshua comes back from heaven, is seen standing on the Mount Zion with the 144,000. That's the day he's glorified. They're being hid, as it were, in his quiver, connotes that they're coming into the limelight is to be a complete surprise unto all. For the first time the world is to learn that these servants of Yahweh are the tail end of the Jacob's descendant, his hidden servant, these who are to gather his people even from the isles of the sea. Again, it is written, in the last solemn work few great men will be engaged, for they are self-sufficient, independent of the Yahweh, and he cannot use them. For the Yahshua, the Son of Yahweh, has the faithful servants who in the shaking, testing time will be disclosed unto you. There are precious ones now hidden who have not bowed the knee to Baal. for they have not had the light that has been shining in a concentrated blaze upon you. Verily, it may be under a rough and uninviting exterior that the pure brightness of a genuine Christian character will be revealed. Ellen G. Watch, quote, volume 5, page 81, Isaiah 49:4. Then I said, I have labored in vain. I have spent my strength for naught and in vain. Yet surely my judgment is with the Yahshua, and my work with my Yahweh. At the outset of their labor, the results must be such as for the bringing almost a complete discouragement. For they nevertheless know that they are appointed by the Yahweh, and so they leave their judgment, their work, and success with Him. And now, saith the Yahweh, oh, Yahshua, the Son, that formed me. No, actually, this is the Father. And now saith the Yahweh, the Father, that formed me from the womb, to be His servant, for the bringing Jacob again unto Him. All right, now. Jacob wrestled with the angel all night. That angel was Yahshua, the Son. So let's read this again. Isaiah 49:5. And now saith the Yahshua, the Son of Yahweh, that formed me from the womb to be His servant for the bringing Jacob again unto Him. So Jacob has to be brought again back unto Yahshua. So Yahshua comes again in these last days in the second time, second advent. He stands at 144,000. He resurrects Jacob of old. And his servant, antypical David, meets with Jacob, and he brings Jacob. He said, here is Yahshua, the one the angels you wrestled with all night in your day. Here he is. He's come back again. And so we are to go and show Jacob where, bring him back again to Yahshua, the Son. That's going to be our responsibility. Okay, through Israel, Though Israel be not yet, yet shall I be glorious in the eyes of Yahshua, and my Yahweh shall be my strength. For their encouragement, they are told that even though Israel be not yet, he will, however, be yet. Yet they shall be glorious in the eyes of Yahshua, and the Yahshua shall be their strength. For since they are now not at another time, but in the day that this prophecy is fulfilled, call for the bringing Jacob again unto the Yahshua, it shows that the Jacob, as the people of the Yahweh in their Jacobite state, must have departed from the Yahshua. Now they must be brought back unto Him by a mighty revival and reformation. Isaiah 49:6. And he said, it is a light thing that thou shouldest be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob, and for the restoring of the preserved of the Israel. And that's 144,000. For I will also give thee for a light unto the Gentiles. Now this is the house of David. Now this antypical David that we are, that we represent, that thou mayest be my salvation through the teaching of the blood of the everlasting covenant of Yahshua unto the end of the earth. That's the gospel, they call it. For this scripture had as its type as the same when the apostles were finally instructed to preach the gospel unto the Gentiles as well as unto the Jews. Now, for the raising up of the tribes of Jacob is first to raise up the first fruit, 144,000, 12,000 out of each tribe of Israel, Revelation 7:3. Moreover, to be a light and a salvation unto the ends of the earth means that these latter-day servants of the Yahweh are for the finishing of the gospel work of the teaching of the plan of the salvation of the blood of the everlasting covenant. And this is how they gather the people, by the teaching of this here blood of the everlasting covenant that purifies their soul so they can be gathered. Or to preach the gospel of the kingdom and all of the world for a witness unto all nations, and thus bring the end. Matthew 24:14. It is our privilege, therefore, not only for the bringing of the light of Yahweh unto the Seventh-day Adventist denomination, where by the shepherd's rod, where the first fruits of the 144,000 of the great spiritual harvest are, but even for the bringing of the same light unto the second fruits, unto the great multitude that are gathered out of all nations, a multitude which no man can number, Revelation 7:9. Those who are thus privileged are, as the Yahweh himself testifies, the descendants of the Jacob, the lost tribes of the Israel, who are now coming into the light. Isaiah 49:7. Thus saith Yahshua, as the Redeemer of Israel, and this is written wrong, for Yahshua is the Redeemer and Emancipator of Israel by his blood, unto him whom a man despises, unto him whom the nation abhorreth, unto a servant of rulers, kings shall see and arise, princes also shall worship, because of the Yahshua that is faithful, and because as the Holy One of Israel is faithful, and shall choose thee. And he, the faithful one, shall choose thee, the 144,000, house of David, tribe of Judah, lawgiver, Genesis 49:10. For the Yahshua is here seen to speak unto a people whom men despise, unto them whom the nation abhors, unto the servants of rulers, unto laymen, not unto the denominationally recognized ministers. This servant of the Yahshua, the scriptures make clear, is despised and abhorred as much as was the Yahshua himself. For the hate then that is heaped upon us by our later sin brethren must not be a discouragement unto us. That's what I went through with Brother Johnson. He was a later sin minister to the Adventist Church, and I was under him, but rather a great encouragement. And why? Because the Spirit of Yahshua himself testifies that we are the servant of the Yahweh for this time, that he is to bless our works so much, so that even a king shall see our rising, and princes also shall come and worship. Isaiah 49:8. Thus saith Yahshua, in a successful time have I heard thee, and in the day of the salvation have I helped thee, and I will preserve thee, and give thee for a covenant of the people, and for the establishing of the earth, for the causing to inherit the desolate heritages. For Yahweh has heard us in the probation of the time, in a time that we can be sealed and be preserved for a covenant of the people. This is in the 12th parabolic hour that we're in now, for the establishing of the earth, for the inheriting of the desolate heritages, for the restoring of all good thing. Now therefore, Nana, that thou mayest say unto the prisoners, go forth, unto them that are in darkness, show yourself, they shall feed in the ways, and their pasture shall be in all high places. It matters not where Yahweh's people be, nor under what circumstances they are to be placed, for they shall nevertheless all hear his servants proclaiming the year of the final jubilee, and all are to be let out free. Okay? All are to share this great, ever-increasing spiritual feast. Isaiah 49:10-11. For they shall not hunger nor thirst, neither shall the heat nor sun smite them. For he that hath mercy on them shall lead them, even by the springs of the water shall he guide them. And I will make all my mountains a way, and my highway shall be exalted. So Yahshua here guarantees that now, in the gathering time, there shall be no obstruction of any kind, that he is the master of the situation. Isaiah 49:12. Behold, these shall come from far, and lo, these from the north and from the west, and these from the land of Sinim. Yahweh's highway shall be filled and exalted, and a multitude together from the four corners of the earth shall safely walk therein. Isaiah 49:13. Sing, O heaven, and be joyful, O earth, and break forth into singing, O mountain. For Yahshua has comforted his people, and will have mercy upon his afflicted. Not that Yahshua will comfort his people, but that he has already comforted them. He has filled them with the truth, present truth. Isaiah 49:14. But Zion said, Yahshua has forsaken me, and my Yahshua has forgotten me. Before they are sealed, those who are to be the inhabitants of the Zion, 144,000, think Yahweh has forsaken them. Yahweh's answer unto them, though, is this. Isaiah 49:15. Can a woman forget her sucking child, that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb? Yea, they may forget, yet will I not forget thee. Even though some, rather than praying for the re-establishing of the Zion, are actually praying against it, nevertheless they too will soon find out that Yahweh is entirely for it. Isaiah 49:16. Behold, I have graven thee upon the palms of my hand. Thy walls are continually before me. From all natural appearances it seems that Yahweh has forgotten Zion, for the place of his earthly as the place of his earthly throne, that he has left his enemies to abuse his people and to deface Zion's exalted hill. But Yahshua himself assured that for Zion's sake and for her people's freedom was he nailed on the cross. Then he says, Isaiah 49:17, thy children shall make haste, thy destroyers, and they that made thee waste shall go forth of thee. Zion's children shall be anxious to get unto her, but her enemies, as the sinners, will be driven away from her. Isaiah 49:18-19. Lift up thine eyes round about, and behold, all these gather themselves together and come unto thee. As I live, saith the Yahshua, that thou shalt surely clothe thee with them all as with an ornament, and bind them on thee as a bride doeth. For thy waste and thy desolate places and the land of thy destruction shall even now be too narrow by the reason of the inhabitants, and they that swallow thee up shall be far away. For the word, behold, calls attention unto a goodly number of the precious soul. already preparing to come. In them shall Yahweh's service glory. Moreover, in spite of the great number of the unrepentant sinners that are to be taken away, the land shall even then be too narrow because of the great incoming multitude. Isaiah 49:20. For the children which thou shalt have, after thou hast lost the other, shall say again in thine ears, the place is too strait for me. Give place unto me that I may dwell. From this verse we gather that the children which the Zion shall lose are those who refuse to be converted. Her loss, though, is to be replaced with a great number from all nations, and thus shall the land become too narrow. The verses that follow reaffirm this view. Isaiah 49:21-23. Then shalt thou say in thine heart, who hath begotten me these sins? I have lost my children, and are on Odessa as a captive, and removing to and fro. And who hath brought up these? Behold, I was left alone. These, where have they been? Thus saith Yahshua, behold, I will lift up mine hand unto the Gentiles, and set up my standard unto the people. That's the creation counter, sanctuary system restored. And they shall bring thy sons and their arms, and thy daughters shall be carried upon their shoulders, and kings shall be thy nursing fathers, and their queens thy nursing mothers. They shall bow down unto thee with their face toward the earth, and lick up the dust of thy feet, and thou shalt know that I am Yahshua, for they shall not be ashamed that wait for me. Okay, though we may now be either hated or unknown, the day is coming when we shall be comforted, for the great men of the earth shall then, so to speak, lick up the dust of our feet. Isaiah 49:24-25. Shall the prey be taken from the mighty, or the lawful captive delivered? For this saith Yahshua, even the captives of the mighty shall be taken away, and the prey of the terrible shall be delivered. For I will contend with him that contendeth with thee, and I will save thy children. No power in the world shall any longer be able to hold Yahweh's people down in the dust. Isaiah 49:22. And I will feed them that oppress thee with their own flesh, and they shall be drunken with their own blood as with the sweet wine. And all flesh shall know that I, the Yahshua, am thy Savior and thy Redeemer, as the mighty one of Jacob. Our enemies shall kill one another with as great zeal as if they had fill themselves with a sweet wine. Then those that remain shall recognize that the Yahshua, as the mighty one of Jacob, is our Savior and Redeemer. Shall we therefore still sleep on, or shall we arise in the righteousness of the Yahshua and get ready for the meeting of Yahshua and to be with him in his kingdom? Your opportunity and the time of your decision is now come and cannot be put off. You must take a firm and active stand with this layman's movement. And this, the work of which is first for the church, then for the world. This ends of our study with the one-time agreement number 46. Okay, as we have time, we go on to number 47, entitled, Jacob's Time of Trouble, Judah and Israel Going Home. This is June the 28th, 1947, of B.T. Hallett. It's one time to greeting number 47. We are now to continue the same subject which we have been studying from the book of the Isaiah, but today we shall study it from the book of the Jeremiah. To begin with, we shall notice that the first chapters of the book deal with the ancient Judah and Israel, with their sins and stubbornness of the heart, and with the resultant dispersion throughout the Gentile nations. The 30th chapter, however, deals not with the scattering of the ancient Judah and Israel, but with the gathering of the Judah and Israel in our day. We shall now begin our study with the first three verses. Jeremiah 30, verse 1 through 3. For the word that came unto Jeremiah from the Yahshua, saying, Thus speaketh the Yahshua, as the king of Israel. Let's do it this way. Thus speaketh the Yahshua, as the redeemer and savior of Israel, saying, Write thee all the words that I have spoken unto thee in a book. For lo, the days come, saith the Yahshua, that I will bring again the captivity of my people, Israel, and Judah, to attend to the two tribes, the lawgiver, which is the house of David, saith the Yahshua, and I will cause them to return unto the land that I gave unto their fathers, and they shall possess it. Note that both Judah and Israel together have the promise of the returning unto their homeland, as this has never yet been realized. The prophecy is yet to be fulfilled. Now you're going to have a resurrection of these people in order to return them back to their homeland. A vision. He's talking about the little ones that had once possessed it back then. Maybe 4,000 years ago, they're going to possess it again. Jeremiah 30, verse 46. And these are, note that both Judah and Israel together here have the promise of the return of their homeland. As this has never yet been realized, the prophecy is yet to be fulfilled. Jeremiah 30, verse 46. And these are the words that the Yahshua spake concerning Israel and concerning Judah, for thus saith Yahshua, we have heard a voice of the trembling, of the fear, and not of the peace. And ye ask ye now, and see, whether a man doth travail with a child. Wherefore do I see every man with his hands on his loins as a woman in the travail, and all faces are turned into the paleness. For the cause of the fear here forecast is fundamentally needless and unnecessary, declares the Yahshua. Jeremiah 30, verse 7. Alas, for that day is great, so that none is like it. It is even the time of the Jacob's trouble. But he, Jacob, of the 144,000, shall be saved out of it. For the people that have come unto this antipical time of the trouble are returning unto the homeland and are comforted. Apparently it is bad enough to frighten all, but Yahweh's encouraging counsel is, fear not. Plainly the burden of this chapter is concerning the antipical returning unto the homeland, though terrible the trouble may seem, yet the outcome of it is to be the same as in the type. Right now, we may not appreciate this study as we ought to, but the time is soon coming in which we will dig as fast and as hard for it as we would to get out from under an avalanche. Those who have but little faith in the word of Yahweh, though, the study will not do them much good. Now is the time for the starting of the cultivating of the faith that we need to have then. That we will need to have then. For the Jacob of our type well knew that Yahweh had directed his return from Padan Aram unto the homeland. Okay, so now, House of David right now is in the antitype of this right here in Texas. Okay, and our homeland is West Texas, where this type of antitype has its beginning. Yet he trembled when he heard that Esau, with the 400 men, were on the way to meet him. Besides, he was led to wrestle with the angel all night long, for he prevailed only because he would not let the angel go until he blessed him. This final result was that on the morrow, Esau, rather than destroying the whole company, very kindly greeted Jacob with a kiss and cordially invited him to return home. So when it all worked itself out, Jacob plainly saw that there was no need at all to have ever feared. How encouraging that all these things happened unto them, for our samples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. 1 Corinthians 10:11. That which happened unto Jacob is sure to happen unto us, and how comforting to know all this ahead of the time. Now, if never before, we should see that where there is a type, there is also an antitype, and that where there is no type, there is no present truth. Jeremiah 30, verse 8. For it shall come to pass in that day, saith Yeshua of the host, that I will break his yoke from off thy neck, and will burst thy bond, and strangers shall no more serve themselves of him. For this verse plainly says that Yahweh is to free his people from the Gentile yoke, and that strangers unconverted shall be no more trouble, shall no more trouble them. Jeremiah 30, verse 9. But they shall serve the Yahshua their Yahweh, and David their king, whom I will raise up unto them. And he's already raised this David up. Okay. No longer shall the followers of the truth serve others, but they shall serve the Yahshua, and a king whom the Yahweh himself shall provide. Okay. So who did Yahweh provide for a king? And when King Saul disobeyed, and Samuel had to go tell King Saul that Yahweh had rejected him from being king over Israel, he said, he's chosen your neighbor, which is better than you. And that was David. So that's the same thing today. Brother Johnson was antitypical King Saul in his day, from 1970 to 2003. I was antitypical Jacob, not realizing that at that time. But it turned into antitypical David. Mm-hmm. Jeremiah 30, verse 10. Therefore, fear thou not, O my servant Jacob, saith to Yahshua, neither be dismayed, O Israel. For lo, I will save thee from afar, and thy seed from the land of their captivity, and Jacob shall return, and shall be in rest, and be quiet, and none shall make him afraid. There is therefore no need of the fear. But there is a need for the faith in the promises of the Yahweh. Jeremiah 30, verse 11. For I am with thee, saith Yahshua, to save thee, though I make a full end of all nations, whether I have scattered thee, yet will I not make a full end of thee. But I will correct thee in measure, and will not leave thee altogether unpunished. for the punishment dealt to Israel and their being scattered among the Gentiles are as amplified in the verses which follow. For the time of the freedom has nevertheless come, and for this we should be glad and give Yahweh the glory. Jeremiah 30, verse 12 to 19. For thus saith the Yahshua, thy bruise is incurable, and thy wound is grievous. There is none to plead thy cause, that thou mayest be bound up. Thou hast no healing medicine. All thy lovers have forgotten thee. They seek thee not, for I have wounded thee with the wound of an enemy, with the chastisement of a cruel one, for the multitude of thine iniquity, because thy sins were increased. Why criest thou for thine affliction? Thy sorrow is incurable for the multitude of thine iniquity, because thy sins were increased. I have done this thing unto thee. Therefore all they that devour thee shall be devoured, and all thine adversaries, every one of them, shall go into captivity. And they that spoil thee shall be a spoil, and all that prey upon thee will I give for a prey. For I will restore health unto thee, and I will heal thee of thy wound, saith the Yahshua. Because they call thee an outcast, saying, this is Zion, whom no man seeketh after. Thus saith Yahshua, behold, I will bring again the captivity of Jacob's tents, and have mercy on his dwelling places, and the city shall be builded upon her own heap, and the palace shall remain after the manner thereof, and out of them shall proceed thanksgiving, and the voice of them that make merry, and I will multiply them, and they shall not be few. I will also glorify them, and they shall not be small. After having gone through their captivity, the people shall fully realize Yahweh's mercy and his wisdom to save them. For they shall be happy forevermore, for he will multiply them in the land of their fathers, and there he will make them great. Jeremiah 30, verse 20. Their children also shall be as aforetime, and their congregation shall be established before me, and I will punish all that oppress them. For the kingdom, as the church purified and apart from the world, is to be as natural and as real as was the kingdom of the ancient Israel, but there will be no sinners in it. Jeremiah 30, 21-23. And their nobles shall be of themselves, and their governors shall proceed from the midst of them, and I will cause them to draw near, and he shall approach unto me. For who is this that engages his heart to approach unto me, saith Yahshua? And you shall be my people, and I will be your Yahweh. Behold, the whirlwind of the Yahshua goeth forth with fury, a continuing whirlwind. It shall fall with pain upon the head of the wicked. This whirlwind is your cyclones. These are your tornadoes that have been coming in the United States for the last 100 years. Yahshua is the one that stirs up these whirlwinds and destroys all these people and all these states of the United States. It's Yahshua is the one that does it. And these are his whirlwinds. For the nobles shall be of themselves, that is, this kingdom shall be self-governing with a theocracy. Notice it says under a theocracy, but no, it's going to be with a theocracy, church and state. In other words, you're going to have one king ruling over the civil and the religious government with the sanctuary system restored, with the creation calendar. For the word, behold, calls attention unto something that can be seen, and therefore implies that the Yahshua's whirlwind is already doing its work. No wonder then that we are now having this disturbance of all kinds and heavy loss of the life and property sea throughout the earth. And notice we have these hurricanes that forms in the ocean out in the Gulf of Mexico, and it comes on shore there in the south, the Florida shore. It comes on the shores of Louisiana and Texas and destroys much property and people's lives on the shore. And it does that all along the east coast and the west coast. Okay, for the very fact that these truths are now revealed, and also the fact that the things foretold by the scriptures are now taking place, plainly show that we are now living in the latter days, and the days in which we must consider as the cause of the evil which enveloped the whole world and make our calling and election sure. How thankful we ought to be that Yeshua is feeding us with the meat in the due season. Though people kill one another by the millions in order for the freeing of themselves from the yoke of some other nation, Moses freed ancient Israel without a casualty. We should now know that the faith in the blood of the Yeshua of the everlasting covenant removes mountains, while doubt ruins nations. But we should no longer be fooled and slow of the heart for the believing all that the prophets have written, Luke 24:25. Believe was Yeshua's motto, and it should be ours too. No doubters will ever enter his kingdom. These things are written that ye might believe, John 20:31. There is but one sensible conclusion that you can come to, and that is to wholeheartedly accept and to comply with all that the prophets have written, that no one diverts your attention from this present truth in the last days. That brings the end of our study on the One Town of Greetings number 47. And we still have about 8 good minutes, 10 minutes. It says, Town of Greetings number 48, July 5th, 1947, Vichy Hollow, is a study on Jeremiah 31. It contains inspirations guaranteed for the Yahweh's people for the returning unto the homeland. For this chapter, you will recognize, contains a prophecy for the latter days. Jeremiah 31:1. At the same time, saith Yeshua, will I be the Yahweh, I will be the Savior, a Redeemer, Emancipator of all of the families of the Israel by my blood of the everlasting covenant, Hebrews 10:19-20, and they shall be my people. For the phrase, at the same time, takes our thoughts back unto the Jeremiah 30:24, where it explains that the time is in the latter days, our time. Not long hence, therefore, our Yeshua will be the Yeshua of all the families of the Israel. For the Yeshua, as the Yeshua of the whole church organization, worldwide, saint and sinner during the judgment for the living, and no longer be commingled. Jeremiah 31:2. Thus saith Yeshua, for the people which were left of the sword found grace in the wilderness, even Israel, when I went for the causing him to rest. For the people who survived their captivity are to find grace in the lands of the Gentiles and the wilderness in the United States, where we're at now, away from the vineyard, which is in the land of Israel. Since the promised land is in the vineyard, Isaiah 5:7, then what would the wilderness be but the land of the Gentiles away from the vineyard? Here in the United States, Yahweh's people will find this grace at the time that Yahshua calls them to rest from their sojourning after the judgment in the house of Yahweh, 1 Peter 4:17 takes place. Jeremiah 31:3. For Yahshua hath appeared of old unto me, saying, yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love, therefore with a loving kindness have I drawn thee. At the fulfillment of this prophecy, the people will realize that Yahshua has really loved them, and that he draws them unto himself with a loving kindness. Jeremiah 31:4. Again, I will build thee, and thou shalt be built, O virgin of the Israel. Thou shalt again be adorned with thy tabrets, and shalt go forth in the dances of them that make merry. For Yahshua assures his people that though the Gentile nations have torn down their kingdom, he will restore it unto them, and they shall again become as a glorious and joyous nation. These promises imply that the people are not now adorned and happy. We may not fully realize this, but Yahweh knows better than we do. Jeremiah 31:5. Thou shalt yet plant vines upon the mountains of Samaria, for the planters shall plant and shall eat them as a common thing. Most of the world thinks that as the 10 tribes of the kingdom of Israel that are lost among the Gentile nations, their kingdom is forever gone, yet the Yahweh, who does according unto his good pleasure, plainly declares that the faithful, after their separation from the unfaithful, shall be gathered out and brought back into the mountains of the Samaria, and that they shall plant and eat the fruit of their planting as a common thing. Jeremiah 31:6. For there shall be a day that the watchman upon the Mount Ephraim shall cry, Arise ye, and let us go up unto Zion, unto Yahshua, our Redeemer and Savior. For the future watchmen of the Mount Ephraim, rather than separating themselves from those of the Mount Zion, as they did anciently, shall gladly lead the laity back unto Zion. For they no longer shall arise, there shall no longer arise the question, why is it that our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and you say that in the Jerusalem is a place where men ought to worship, John 4:20. Jeremiah 31:7. For this saith Yahshua, sing with a gladness for the Jacob, and a shout among the chief of the nations, publish ye, praise ye, and say, O Yahshua, save thy people, the remnant of Israel. Save those Jacobites, 144,000. For the remnant are those who survived the judgment in the house of the Yahweh. Yahweh's people now, while dwelling among the chief of the nations, are urged for the proclaiming of this good tidings in their midst with the singing of gladness and praise, saying, O Yahweh, save thy people. This saith Yahweh. For this truth is now, as the very present truth, and it is to be proclaimed and heeded. To work and to pray unto this end is the message of the hour. Jeremiah 31:8. Behold, I will bring them from the north country and gather them from the coast of the earth, and with them the blind and the lame, the woman with the child, and her that travaileth with the child together. A great company shall return thither. We need not fear, for our efforts will not be fruitless, for Yahweh's sincere people will hear and give heed unto the message of this day, and the Yahshua will thus gather them from the four corners of the earth, be they blind or lame, be they woman or child, they shall all return unto the vineyard of the Yahshua. Jeremiah 31:9. For they shall come with the weeping and with the supplication, will I lead them. I will cause them to walk by the rivers of the waters in a straight way, wherein they shall not stumble. For I am a father unto Israel, and Ephraim is my firstborn. Ephraim himself, inspiration says, was to become a multitude of nations. Genesis 48:19-20. Jeremiah 31 10. Hear the word of Yahshua, O you nations, and declare it in the isles afar off, and say, He that scattered Israel will gather him and keep him as a shepherd doth his flock. For Yahshua is speaking, and who dare not take his word to heart? Who dare be indifferent and keep silent? And in order for the nation to be able to say, He that scattered Israel will gather them and keep him, they must be the nations that believe, as the nations that understand these prophecies and promises, for they are to do what we are doing. But since there is no nation doing this at the present time, and since we are the only ones that are engaged in this work, the truth becomes evident that our message is to awaken nations unto the fact that we, as the last descendants of the 12 tribes of Israel, are called forth for the declaring of this present truth, not only unto all of our brethren, but even unto the nation. Then the nations are to rebroadcast it unto other nations. So declares the scriptures. They are to proclaim that the Yahshua's people are to be gathered and kept too. We therefore must not fail in our trust. We must prove worthy of our calling. Jeremiah 31:11. For this Yahshua hath redeemed Jacob, and redeemed him from the hand of him that was stronger than he, and that was the Laban. He saved Jacob from Laban, the idolater. We are not able to redeem ourselves, nor are we able of ourselves for the return into our land. For Yahshua is to accomplish all this for us. For we are therefore to be thankful that our freedom and redemption do not depend upon ourselves, for the responsibility is of Yahshua. He is to redeem us from him that is stronger than we. And that would be that mark of the beast Catholic Church today. Jeremiah 31:12-14. Therefore, they shall come and sing in the height of the Zion, and shall flow together unto the goodness of the Yahshua, for the wheat, and for the wine, and for all, and for the young of the flock, and of the herd, and their soul shall be as a watered garden, and they shall not sorrow any more at all. Then shall the virgin rejoice in the dance, both young men and old men together, for I will turn their mourning into joy, and will comfort them and make them rejoice from their sorrow, and I will satiate the soul of the priest with the fatness, and my people shall be satisfied with my goodness, saith Yahshua. These verses, I am sure, need no interpretation or elucidation. Jeremiah 31:15-16, thus saith Yahshua, for a voice was heard in Ramah, lamentation and bitter weeping, Rachel weeping for her children, refused to be comforted for her children because they were not. Thus saith Yahshua, refrain thy voice from weeping and thine eyes from the tears, for thy work shall be rewarded, saith Yahshua, and they shall come again from the land of the enemy. To understand these verses, we must first look into the historical background of them. For the Rachel, as the wife of the Jacob, had got two sons of her own, Joseph and Benjamin. For they were the only sons that were born under Jacob in the promised land. Rachel died while giving birth unto Benjamin, and so she herself could not have wept for the loss of her children. They were both with her when she died. Hence, as the only conclusion one can come to is that Rachel in this scripture is figurative. After the death of Solomon, the kingdom was divided for the 10 tribes taken the north, and the two tribes taken the south, for the tribe of the Joseph was in the one kingdom, and the tribe of the Benjamin in the other. Rachel, therefore, must be the figurative mother of the children of both kingdoms of the 10 tribes of Israel, Ephraim, and Judah of the two tribes, the lawgiver of the south. For the incident of Jeremiah 31:15, Matthew applied unto the Herod's killing of the children and the attempt for the slaying of the Yashir, Matthew 2:18. For a study of this verse, along with the entire context of this chapter, however, will disclose that it has an even more direct application for the dispersion of both kingdoms, Judah and Israel, and of their return from the lands of their enemies unto the fatherland. This brings in verse 55. For this hour, contact at the 11th hour call. It's number 11. Click on our audio archive. We're going to close now with a song.